If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Astar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings from the light and love of the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Astar Command. This evening our topic is the Age of Grace and Miracles. So, the kingdom is here, and we've come in to do miracles. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward into the miracle working grace of supreme love. Allow yourself to be completely immersed and baptized in every cell of your being with this beautiful, golden, and I would have to say intensely violet-purple, divine love. Let it just swoop down and bathe every single subatomic particle of your being. Everything that's not supremely joyful and pure and perfectly in attunement with your highest, most miraculous, grace-filled, loving destiny goes now in the name of Jesus. And I speak God's kingdom into you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Everything that is not of your kingdom inheritance goes now. There's no sickness in the kingdom, so sickness cannot come into your body. There's no sadness or depression, no addiction, no possessive or obsessive energy whatsoever in the kingdom. So all of that must go now as God's kingdom comes into you and is you. You are God's kingdom come. You are God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Take another deep breath and exchange that garment of heaviness for a cape of lightness and joy. Place upon your shoulders a beautiful mantle of righteousness, of zeal, of peace, and of divine empowerment. And step forward in your true inheritance. I speak your divine kingdom destiny over you tonight, each one of you. Receive it like a little child. It's yours. You don't have to earn it. It was already purchased for you and secured and safeguarded for you to where you could come to this point in time and receive of it fully. So it's time to get happy. Happiness is union with God. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's what gives you strength. Joy. Not joy of the material, but joy that can never be disrupted by anything in the material world. The joy of the Lord is a manifestation of the divine heart within you and towards you. It is grace simply because you're loved. Just because. You don't have to earn it. You just receive it. Like a little kid receives a gift on Christmas. So this is the Christ Mass of your own highest destiny. As you delight yourself in the Lord, He shall fulfill the desires of your heart. Just like the great Yogananda said, everything can wait, but my uniting with the Beloved cannot wait. And he was an ardent devotee of the Lord. So even though we may have all knowledge, all wisdom, all power, so as to even possess and rule the earth, if we don't have devotion to the Lord, it all amounts to zero. So let's forsake all things, if need be, but let's prioritize the opened heart so that that which is the most wondrous paradigm shift possible can be released in us. The kingdom is released through your burst open heart. Sometimes that heart is broken so that it can open. That's what happened to me. My heart had to be broken by disappointments in romantic love so that I could be born to true love. I had to be broken in personal attachment and romantic fantasies so that my heart could be refashioned into a divine heart that was capable of loving, truly loving, without personal attachment, without personal need. You might think that's impossible. Let me tell you, it's not. It's not. If I can experience it, anybody can. So if you've had a broken heart, so be it. Just know that out of that brokenness, God will refashion a heart that will shine and glow with His own image. It will be a golden heart, and it will be a capacity to love that is no longer put off by the responses or lack of response of another. It is a heart so vast and so expanded that you begin to find everything and everyone that you love inside you, personally and permanently. You'll never lose that love. So that's the paradigm shift that enables us to enter in what's called the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, which is entered through the heart. You go into the unified field of unconditional heart space to find yourself every place. So we're talking about a massive paradigm shift that we're being thrust into, ready or not. Here it comes. It's upon us. So that's what our topic is tonight. Excuse me. So, I'm really excited because I think this is my favorite topic to speak about. And also because I know that many of you listening tonight are going to have a tremendous shift in your consciousness. Excuse me. You see, what's happening is that there's a lot of brokenness in the heart, and in expressing the heart, and when my instrument becomes congested as I'm speaking about a topic, I know that that's representative of clearing that's taking place in those who are listening tonight. So just bear with me while I clear my throat a few times. And take another deep breath. And we're going to ask Jesus, who is the mender of hearts, to come into your heart now and pour the liquid golden light of love wherever you have brokenness, woundedness, hatred, pain, sense of rejection, betrayal, loss, whatever it is. Just now, bear your heart before the Beloved, and allow the Healer of Hearts, the Lord of Hearts, the King of Hearts, to refashion your heart. Allow Him to heal that heart so that the pain dissolves into grace, into love, into greater expansive embracement, greater unlimited capacity to keep expanding and releasing and opening and allowing. Because the only thing that limits the unlimited potential of God is our own self-confinement. It's the areas where we have contracted and shut down. That's the only thing that limits us. So we can choose again. We can choose tonight to step free through grace. We can allow a miracle to transform our hearts, because you and I know that nothing we can do can deal with our heart. The heart has to be ministered to by the Divine Spirit. That's the one, the only one, who can transform a human heart. A bitter, hardened, closed, calloused heart can be made soft and fresh and new and vital and pure in a nanosecond. It's no biggie for God. He's just restoring the kingdom to you. So allow the kingdom to be restored wherever you shut down, wherever you've closed down. Delight in joy and happiness and fullness of being. Where is it? Give it over right now. Give it over. Offer it to the Lord. Take a deep breath and just let yourself be delivered through grace. Just that simple. Just allow. That's it. That's it. Just allow the kingdom of God to be restored in every cell of your being, in your relationships, in your finances, in your emotions, in your mind, in your home, amongst your kith and kindred, with your children, your spouse, in your job, in your career. This day, the kingdom of God is visiting you. Enter, beloved, and receive your full inheritance. It's been waiting for you. This is something that is born of love. So you can't figure it out. You can't miss it. You can delay it, but it'll find you sooner or later. And it's already earned, bought, purchased, and secured for you. And you know what? It's the easiest thing in the world. I often say that this time is like, it's like we're happy lambs dancing on little lamb feet in a beautiful sunlit clover field with wildflowers and sweet zephyr breezes. And we're gamboling and leaping and dancing and the joy of a bright and pristine new earth. A complete transformed worldview. So that we look through new eyes. We see for the first time through the eyes of our heart. All mystics have talked about this vision for years, but in the past it was only a mystic here and a mystic there, and not very many. Today, we're all called to be the divine mystics, the divine lovers of God, those who see through the upper vision, those who work in miraculous ways, those who do the greater works that Jesus said that we would all do. When he said, come follow me, He meant, come follow and do the same things I'm doing. Do you realize that Jesus never did not heal everyone? Everywhere he went, he healed everyone. Everyone. He didn't stop and say, do you believe in me? Are you a good Jew? There weren't any Christians yet. Are you a righteous person? Do you have bad karma? No, he never said that. He just said, do you want to be healed? Do you want to see? Just like that. He raised the dead. He healed everybody everywhere. And every demon-possessed person, he set them free. Everywhere he went, there was fullness of life, and that more abundant. And that's what he's come to restore to you. So let's get happy. Let's get happy. Let's make room to house happiness. You know, you don't have to have a reason to be happy. Sometimes I'm just as happy as a lark, in fact, most of the time. And I don't have a reason in the world to be happy. I mean, given material circumstances, I don't have anything particularly great going on in the material world, like most people. But I've got a party going on in my heart 24/7. And I can only say it's because the kingdom of heaven found me empty enough to get inside. And I stayed empty enough to let it stay there and abide in me. And so that's what I can transmit and quicken in you. Because when you have it inside you as an energy, you can quicken and activate it in others. That's the way it works down here. And the anointing, the blessing of God that flows out in miraculous power, is called anointing because it's like oil. It gets all over you. You get up against an association with someone who's dripping with anointing, God's favor manifesting in a particular gift or ability. That's what we'd call anointing. So the Holy Spirit is using you in a particular flow, which is as natural to you as it is for a little duck to swim when it hits a pond. That is your anointing. The anointing is always easy. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my burden is easy, and my yoke is light. Now what he's saying is that when you're functioning in Christ consciousness, in the higher consciousness, in the soul consciousness or awareness, in that transcendental state, your anointing, your ability flows through you effortlessly. It's the easiest thing in the world to do what God has created you to do. What's hard and what causes stress is when we try to arbitrarily pretzel ourselves to fit into a place that God didn't want us to be. And then we get all disappointed and bent out of shape because we get fired. Or somehow we get extruded and rejected from that and ejected from that area. Why is that? Because God doesn't want you to be there. God has purposed for you a higher destiny, but allows you enough wiggle room that he will give you a permissive destiny, which is a lesser good if you want to just ego muscle it out and not surrender to the higher destiny. So there's a higher destiny that you can open yourself to. And there's a settling in to a lesser, which is not God's will for you, but it's God's permissive will. In other words, he'll let you do what you do until you don't, and you decide that doing it out of your own steam isn't very fulfilling. Because your happiness and your divine function and your anointing and your spiritual gifting are all braided and wedded together as one. So you will know that you're in the place of your highest destiny when everything within you rings and sings with peace and joy and happiness. It's called Ananda, divine bliss. And It's where you're just expansive permissiveness in terms of allowing God to have his way with you. Just have your way with me, Lord. Whatever you say, whatever you want. You know, sometimes people think they're not going to want what God wants. Sometimes people think there's a different will. There's a human will and there's a divine will. That's all nonsense. There's only one will. And the will that is God's will is sometimes covered over with thoughts of separate identity, of a separate life apart from God, of a separate anything apart from the all that is. And we call that sense of separate existence the ego mind or the false self. And so we are allowing that whatever it is to be wafted away, to be whisked away, to be lifted. The veil goes in the name of Jesus now. Those eyes are open. The scales come off and you see. You have eyes that can see in the spirit. The plugs come out of the ears. And you have ears suddenly that can hear the inner nuances of spirit. And the heart. Off comes the armor. The armor plates. Off come the fences of defense and protection. You don't need them. What are you going to protect yourself from? There's only you. There's only God. There's only the beloved in all of existence. Everything you see, within and without, is a child of your own engenderment. All of the things you see in your dreams and your visions and your inner workings and your human levels are things that you have created, allowed, promoted, and projected in terms of thought manifests, all of which dissolve into limitless love when you allow the kingdom of heaven to be born in you and to manifest through you. Yeah, all that goes. You don't have to do anything other than recognize, oh, it's not happy, so it's not real. Every time you're unhappy, it's because you're looking at something that's not real. How can I say that? Because happiness and joy and love are one and the same thing. Happiness, love, joy, and peace are one and the same thing. Happiness, love, joy, peace, and miracles and grace are all one and the same thing. See? It's all like ice cream, maybe slightly different flavors, but ice cream is ice cream. So this is what you're going to receive tonight. If you're so willing to step forward and embrace of it. So is your God concept too small? Are you just too small for an unlimited God? If so, choose again. Put an end to that cycle. An embrace of your greater destiny. So, since the physical advent of Jesus into the third dimensional material universe, and specifically this planet, we have been progressing steadily into a, let's say, a universe, a golden universe called the universe of the Holy Shekinah, or the Holy Spirit. We're moving into a universe predicated on the power aspect of God, but it's the power of love, empathy, and compassion. It's not the power of the mind or the ego. It's the power of the transforming spirit of grace. And that's what we call the new era or the new universe that we're moving into. And it functions completely different than the old third density planet and universe. It functions not under the law, which is an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and every single thing that you do has an equal and opposing reaction that you have to reap, which, since that never seems to get finished because we're always making another action which produces another reaction, then we keep re-embodying and the bodies wear out, and then we get another one and re-embody again, and that wears out, and then we have to re-embody again so that we can reap the results of our actions. And most people call that the law of karma and the law of reincarnation. But you know what? They're only laws to be transcended through grace. So that's why this is the age when we have the unique opportunity to step free of obligatory bondage to the wheel of reincarnation, or the wheel of samskara, or whatever you want to call it. A wheel's a wheel, goes around in circles. Let's get off of this puppy and move on into what God has for us in the real world. The real world, you're not going to lose. You can only lose the illusory reflective world, because the lower dimensions are reflective and they are not absolute. Therefore, they have a cycle of which they are governed by time and declination, and they tend to dissolve and go into complete dissolution. So we are moving beyond the energies of entropy and dissolution, decay and death, into that life more abundant, the resurrection life that Jesus set in place when he resurrected his body, thus overcoming death and the codes of death that had been visited upon the Adamic race ever since the time of the initial Adam and Eve in the garden. So that curse of death has been broken off of us by the advent of Jesus the Christ, who bridged us back into direct access to the divine throne realms through grace and through love. That's why every single thing that's gone before has now been superseded by a more excellent way. Yes, a more excellent way. A way of salvation, which means the way of shalom, which is to say the restoration of your initial, original kingdom wholeness. Wholeness or holiness means the same thing. Wholeness and holiness mean the same thing. So you're being restored to your whole spirit or holy spirit, not your separated self. Your whole self has been returned to you. And we call that the restoration of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. There's all these different metaphors. It means the same thing. So the kingdom of God has come and is being restored through you and me. And, you know, it's so often the case. Major shifts in planetary awareness is initiated by a new generation that brings in an influx of new energy. So this is why we're having all of these incredible young people that come in that are completely off the old paradigm. They're not even in that world anymore. And you see a real stark difference between how they function and the confusion that they experience when they come up against the old paradigm. And they don't fit in it, nor do they want to fit in it. And yet it's still an experiential manifest that needs more and more of us to live in the new paradigm before it becomes more readily apparent. So let me tell you about a group of young people that I had the pleasure of meeting a couple years back. Not too far from Mount Shasta, there's a small California town called Redlands. And I drove down the mountain. I was living in Mount Shasta at the time, had an Ashtar Command Center there. And a group of us went down because we heard there was an incredible church where there was a lot of miracles taking place. I mean, people would dance on the back of folding chairs, and they would levitate, and things would materialize, and people would get healed. I mean, you know, it sounded fantastic. Also sounded like a lot of fun. So we went down there, and there's a church called Bethel. It's actually a Pentecostal church, huge, a great big, huge church. And the pastor is a man by the name of Bill Johnson, who is quite well known amongst charismatic circles. Charismatic, the term means, comes from the Greek term charis, which means the gift. And in this case, a charismatic is a person who operates in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit. So they'll call a church that has this miracle-working power a, quote, charismatic church. Sometimes they're charismatic Pentecostal. Sometimes they're non-denominational. Sometimes they're just fellowships or centers. But you'll see a working of the miracle-working power of the Holy Spirit. And in this case, they had a school of supernatural ministry where young people and people of all ages from all over the world will come to study and learn how to step boldly into the gifts of the Holy Spirit and operate spontaneously through the flow of the Holy Spirit within them. And I was really impressed because there was a young girl that came up to me and asked if I needed prayer. And I said, actually, I'd like you to pray for my granddaughter. And the girl couldn't have been any older than maybe 15 or 16. She was quite a young teenager. And she spoke a word that was so accurate about my granddaughter. It was amazing. She outlined everything she was involved with, everything she was doing, everything that God had marked her to do. And she basically called out the destiny of my granddaughter right over her head. And since I, you know, was aware of her destiny, I knew how absolutely spot accurate the young woman was. So this is what these kids do. They gather together, and this is every night they do this, okay? It's their fun thing to do. And they start out with a little prayer and a little worship. And they sit quietly, and they listen to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will give them a series of clues that they have to find. When they go out to minister, they have to look for these things. Like, for example, they might hear baseball cap, red baseball cap with Nike on it, or, you know, whatever. And or look for the person that has a yellow jacket, or look for the sign that says stone, or whatever. And so after they've gotten all of these different hints from the Holy Spirit, they put them all together, and it gives them some idea of where to go. And then they get in their cars, and they'll go either to the ER, or they'll go to the mall, or they'll just go get in the car, and they'll drive until the Holy Spirit says stop there. And then it was interesting because one boy got the word stone. And they came to a mall, and he saw that there was a Cold Stone ice cream place, but the only lettering that was lit up was stone, and the cold, the lights were out. So the Holy Spirit was very precise. And sure enough, they start to walk, and they find people that have either prayed for someone to come and help them, or they have a real burden on their heart, and they've said, God, if you're real, will you help me, or will you send somebody, or will you answer this question? You know, it's always in direct answer to the prayer that someone has made. And so these kids, they go forth really boldly, filled with the Holy Spirit, which gives you a tremendous sense of boldness and self-confidence, even if you're shy. When the Holy Spirit gets inside you, you don't feel anything. You're just bold. You're like a lion. And they go in divine authority and release God's kingdom into these people's lives. It might look like they call it a soul reading, where they will call forth prophetically a person's destiny. For example, they might say to somebody, are you working in the publishing business? And maybe the person says, yes. Well, I see that God is making a change in your job. You're going to be promoted to this position, and you're going to function in an area of greater responsibility. But don't worry, because God will be sufficient to work with you and advance you into your new position and see that you succeed in it, because that's where you're being positioned. And like that, people would be amazed because it's so accurate. So just as we're used to psychic readings, we have to realize that the psychic reading, which comes from familiar spirits in the astral plane, is actually a counterfeit of the higher gifting, which comes from the Spirit of Truth inside you, dwelling inside you and working through you, which is the third aspect of the Trinity called the Holy Spirit or the Shekinah. So that's the power, miracle-working aspect of God that comes to dwell in you the moment you have received the Christ, the God divine love essence into your heart, when you've received that and had that spiritual transformation, the Holy Spirit then tabernacles, lives inside you, and you become the temple, the literal temple of the living God. You become God's house. He lives inside you. So that's the big, big, big quantum leap that religious people, many of them, are completely unaware of. They don't have experience yet of that. And you know what happens when the spirit leaves an area? You're left with religion. So we're not talking about religion. We're talking about relationship and direct relationship and a co-partnering, coexisting relationship with that divine spirit within you. Because this new paradigm that we're moving into, this new earth, this golden age, this kingdom of heaven has to be imported through you and me. It doesn't just float down from the sky. It's restored through you and me operating in Christ consciousness. That's the Christ in us, the hope and glory. So Christ is the name, the Greek name for the Son of God, functioning in full anointed authority. And that becomes who we are when we are functioning in Christ consciousness, when we have wedded ourselves with that higher divine sonship, which is our inheritance. We then operate in the Christ essence, the Christ consciousness. And so Christ is a state of anointing, a state of divine sonship. It's not the last name of Jesus or Yeshua. So they will go, and it's really interesting because they will put their hands on someone for prayer, and they're always healed. They're almost never not healed. Almost always. And when I say almost, sometimes healings are instant, and sometimes they're progressive. Sometimes there's a season of gradual getting better. And that's all the prerogative of God, knowing what's best for each person. But some people are instantly healed. And these young people, they lay hands on people who are deaf, and their hearing is restored. They lay hands on people's blind eyes or poor vision, and their eyesight is restored. And there was one very strange story. It's kind of yucky, but it also shows you that nothing is impossible. They were praying for a woman who had a cancerous tumor. They didn't know the person had a cancerous tumor. They were just praying for her. And all of a sudden, this smelly thing fell out of the woman, and they were shocked. And later, when the pastor followed up to find out, you know, exactly what the details of this situation was, he said, "Well, did you dilate, and did it, you know, come out like a baby would?" And she said, "No." She said, "My abdomen simply opened, the cancerous tumor fell out, and it closed back." And that was that. So there's all sorts of very unusual things that happen. Very often people are in wheelchairs or on crutches or have one leg that's shorter than the other. And they're able to get up out of the wheelchair and throw away their crutches. Sometimes the uneven legs are held, and you'll watch the other leg grow right in your hands and come into the... By the way, I've seen these things personally. I think I told you some many, many shows back that one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in this life was traveling with the Benny Hinn Healing Crusades for a period of about a year, 2 years. I guess it was longer, actually, several years. I was flying to different places where these miracle healing crusades were being held by a charismatic pastor by the name of Benny Hinn. And I volunteered to sing in the choir. And I personally saw miracles that I had never in my life seen the operation of the Holy Spirit like this. I don't think I even knew that such a realm existed before I did my stint with the Benny Hinn Ministries. That was back in the year 2000. I guess it was 1999 when I first became exposed to Benny Hinn. And everything that happened from then on put me into a whole new level of understanding of God and brought such joy into my life, such thrilling joy. Because it said in the scriptures that the preaching of the true gospel, which is the good news of the kingdom of heaven, will always be evidenced by miracles, signs, and wonders which confirm the word. So they go hand in hand. When you hear the true spiritual teachings that Jesus taught, when you hear somebody giving them in the fullness of the Spirit, not just, you know, just taking little bits and pieces, which many churches do to be politically correct, they'll water down the teachings. And when they do that, it's not the full gospel teachings. The full gospel has to be preached just as Jesus gave it. And when it is, the proof that that's the true word is that you'll see these transforming events happen that completely change people's lives. People get delivered from oppression and addictions. They get set free. They get a new life. They get saved. They get healed. They get restored relationships. Whatever it is that is out of order in their lives, they are returned and restored to wholeness and transformed. That's how you can tell a real teaching. And if you're in a place that is just dead, nothing's happening. You walk in one person and you walk out the same person. Nothing's happening. Get out of there. Nothing's going to happen. If transformation isn't occurring, if you don't see things happening in people's lives, get out of the group or the organization because it's wasting your time. There's got to be some fruit on that tree. Otherwise, it's not a tree of life. And many religions are trees of death. They teach you about all the things that God doesn't want your head bothered with. I actually went to one church not too long ago. It was so depressing that I felt like a dark cape had been put over me when I went out. It was like this yucky feeling. And it wasn't happy. It wasn't joyful. It wasn't inspiring. And all the guy did was hammer on and on and on about how sinful we are and how evil the world is. Well, you know what? He must not have read his Bible. Because the Bible says, for God so loved this world. He loved this world. That he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would receive him and believe in him and follow him would inherit eternal life. In other words, bottom line, cut to the chase, receive the gift of love and the kingdom's restored to you, bottom line. And that wasn't being preached. There was no good news in that church, let me tell you. And since when you have had your heart filled with the love of God and the presence of the Lord, you don't have any sin on you. So, you know, you can't call yourself a sinner when you've been born again, when you've confessed your sins, when you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're as white as snow. You don't have any sin. You're no sinner. You're certainly not, don't have to hear a preaching that's depressing. You need to hear the good news and to learn how to operate in gifts boldly. So that you step out. You just don't sit and listen to somebody talking about this stuff. You actually find out how you can do the same thing, like these young people in this Bethel School of Ministry. They're just young kids, but they're so excited and enthused about what they're doing, they can hardly wait each night where they can come together and go out and minister to the community. So, oh gosh, there's just so many, many, many things that are being happened now. But when I was with the Benny Hinn Ministries and I was hearing a lot of, seeing these miracles every single crusade, there was, I remember one in one case, you know, sometimes people think, it's just all hypnosis or, you know, it's all magic tricks. Excuse me, It's not. I saw a baby that couldn't walk yet. The baby was about 9 months old, I would guess, that had clubbed feet. The feet were very deformed and turned inward. I watched as the Holy Spirit touched that baby's feet, and they straightened out into perfect little feet. I saw a woman that had come to an earlier crusade, and she wanted to have a child more than anything, but she'd had a complete hysterectomy. She didn't say anything to Pastor. I mean, Benny Hinn doesn't do the miracles. He facilitates a gathering where people can come together in faith, worship the Lord, and the miracles come from the Lord. The Lord moves upon his people. It's not Benny Hinn doing anything. He's as surprised as anyone else when these healings happen. But this one was really amazing. Anyway, during one of the crusades where I was singing in the choir, the woman came back to testify. And with her, she brought twin daughters. And she said, Pastor, she said, I brought the doctor's records to prove that I had a complete hysterectomy. And when I went to your crusade 2 years ago, you prayed over me for a child, and I received a complete womb, regrew in me, fallopian tubes. I conceived and bore these two healthy twins. So that was mind-blowing. I also saw a little boy about 9 years old that had a cancerous tumor on his stomach, and he lifted his shirt, and as the Holy Spirit came upon him, I watched the tumor, and it just dissolved into his body and vanished. He just had clear skin. So things like that happen all the time. There's just usually there's a follow-up team of doctors that check people, and then they have them go visit their doctor. They have them bring back the proof, you know, the x-rays and the signed, whatever they sign, the release forms, I guess, from the doctor, so that everything is documented. So they put together then films with this documentation to help to build faith in people, because we have such a spirit of cynicism and doubt and disbelief now, particularly in the West. We're so jaded and mental and intellectual. Now, we have virtually squeezed out every happy, miraculous possibility. It's sad. But, you know, through the ministry of Benny Hinn and others, there's many others that are operating in these charismatic gifts. And I have sat with many of these pastors and many of these congregations where these wonderful things are happening. And it's really, really exciting. So Jesus did miracles all the time, and he expects us to do them also, because people have to, in this strange age where, you know, you got to see it to believe it, and even if people do see it, 9 times out of 10, they still don't believe it until it happens to them. Then they believe. You know, when God puts you down under the power of the Holy Spirit, you faint under the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're down there for several hours, and then you come up a new person, that'll make a believer out of you. One story I love. There was a little 3-year-old child that one of the pastors was praying for, and he was blind, and he had his sight restored. Before the baby could do anything else, he ran out into the congregation, which was one of those huge crusades, and he went up to every single person that was blind or looked like they had problems with their eyes, and as he touched them, he touched 20 people, they all had their sight restored. And that's an evidence of how God can use anyone. He's no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are, how foolish you are, how poor you are. In fact, the more foolish you are, the more likely you are to be used. The more poor and the more humble you are of spirit, the more likely God will use you to do great works through you, because that's how he's glorified. When we in our fragility, our brokenness, our weakness, we just can't get it up to do anything really outstanding. When God takes the damaged goods that we think we are, and turns us into vessels of honor and does these great works through us, wow, then people can witness us and glorify the Father who is doing the works within us and through us. And that's the whole purpose. The whole purpose is to reveal the nature of God, which is healing and restoring and bringing us back to kingdom wholeness. So, as these young people go out and they minister boldly, they don't pass out biblical tracts. They're not soliciting for their church or any religion. They're just showing forth the love of God. That's it. That's all they do. They just speak destiny into people. They lay hands on people for prayer, and they minister to them in whichever way they need to be ministered to. And I know when I've gone out and done stuff like this, I've never, ever, ever had a person say no to prayer. Never. Never. So you might want to ask at this point, well, how can I do that? Many of you listening to me have been told that you're healers. You know what? You just start boldly stepping out and laying hands on people and praying for them. You don't always have to touch them. That's kind of a Christian thing. We just naturally lay hands on people. But you don't have to. You can stand at a distance and pray for them. And you can say something like this: I speak the kingdom of healing and wholeness into your knee or whatever it is, now in the name of Jesus. That's all you have to do. And you're not the healer. You're not doing it. It's not by your power. It's by the Spirit. So you just allow the Holy Spirit to do what he's going to do. And your whole responsibility ends with your prayer. You don't have to do anything. Just go your way. Don't look back. Just let it be what it's going to be. It's between that person and God. And as you minister, when you're ministering in these gifts, you never take money for that. That is a gift. Ministers, charismatic ministers, and people who are in the pastorate usually are supported by their congregations, but they don't take a fee for doing the work. That's kind of different from the way New Age people work, where they have a fee or something that you have to pay them before they do whatever it is that they do. But that's not the way it works in the charismatic and the Christian tradition. There, freely you've received, so freely you give. But also, as you give, those that you minister to, it's their dharma to see that your needs are met and that you're supported. In the olden times, it meant that you were fed and housed and clothed, and your material needs were taken care of, your travel expenses. So nowadays, it's a little bit different. But still, you should never put a price tag on whatever you do in your ministry. You can have a place where people can donate. That's fine. But it should never be, you have to pay me this much, or I won't pray for you, or, you know, I won't do a healing on you unless you give me money. Now, if you're a doctor or a professional, that's different. Then you have a client come and they pay you. Or if you're a counselor and a client comes and they pay you, that's different. But I'm talking about if you're just ministering as a person of God, you know, you're just stepping forward to do the greater works and allow Jesus and the Holy Spirit to work through you, then give freely. And don't think about that you're doing it. You're not doing anything. You're just stepping forward and doing what Jesus told you to do, which was to pray for the sick, heal the sick, pray for and deliver the demon-possessed, and speak God's kingdom into people. You know, release the kingdom of God and divine destiny into people. So that's what we're to do. Now, do whatever it is necessary, whatever you have to do, wherever you have to go, where these wonderful miracles and charismatic renewals and revivals are taking place. Go where they're happening. Pay any price, whatever it is, but go. But go with an open mind and heart, not with a spirit of suspicion or unbelief or to dispute or to, none of that stuff. Just go with an open heart. and see what happens. If you Google charismatic revival, you'll probably come up with several things that are happening. They just had a tremendous revival in Lakewood, I think it was Lakewood, Florida, somewhere down in Georgia and Florida. They had a tremendous revival that started with a pastor visiting there for a few days, and it ended up with several months of just incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to describe some of the things that are happening in these revivals because they're so amazing. Bear in mind that God's Spirit often flows into the cup or the expectation that you present. In other words, where people don't expect God to show up, sometimes he will come in a different way. Some people believe that the charismatic gifts are the works of the devil. Unfortunately, I don't know how they would believe that the devil would have anything to do with healing or transformed hearts. It's silly to believe that those things are the works of the devil. Or speaking in tongues, for example. I speak in tongues, and I can assure you it's not the works of the devil, because I'm filled with joy and love of God. How can that be the works of the devil? But then they said Jesus, he did things by the power of the devil too. So there's a certain mentality out there which everything that doesn't fit into their God box becomes the works of the devil. I would rather be God-minded and Jesus-minded than devil-minded. So if you look for devils, you'll probably find them. But I would rather look for evidences of the kingdom of God and the glory of God and the love of God. And I suggest you might want to do that too. It gives a much more beautiful lifestyle. So anyway, one of the groups that I visited, I was sitting next to a woman and she had her Bible open and it was covered with gold dust. There was this gold dust all over her Bible. And she showed it to me. And then she mentioned this church where every time they gather, gold dust falls, into the pews on people's heads as they're praying. Sometimes the pastor or whoever the visiting person is that's speaking, the gold dust, as they preach the gospel, the gold dust will start to cover their body until their whole body is covered with gold dust. One man, every time he preaches the gospel, his shoes become covered with gold dust. And the pew that I was sitting on was fabric, and I noticed there was gold dust all over it, and I tried to scrape it up with my fingernail, but it was not loose like sparkles that you could buy in a store. I guess that's a God thing, because there was no way that I could scoop any of that up off the fabric and get any on my hands or the Bible or anything. And none of it, unfortunately, manifested in my Bible. But, you can always hope. The other thing is that manna manifests in Bibles. And in this one pastor, it always manifested in the scripture where it mentions that God would give you manna to eat from heaven. It's a portion of the Old Testament, I forget where. But that's the page that this thick, white, flaky, kind of looks like cracker, like, you know what they use for Holy Communion? Kind of looks like that, like little cracker flakes. Fills his Bible, and people have been healed, and children have been healed by eating these flakes. One little girl had an incurable blood disease, and the doctors didn't think she was going to actually be able to live. And the woman had the manna, gave her manna, for a period of 2 months, like medicine. They stopped the medicine they were giving her because it wasn't doing any good. She was just getting sicker. And within 2 months, the girl was completely healed from this so-called incurable disease with the manna. Another thing that's happening is little white angel feathers will just kind of fall down from the sky, from the ceiling or wherever people are gathering. Because people believe in angels, Christians believe in angels. So the manifestations will be in alignment with their biblical belief. And so it's, nothing out of line of the scriptures manifest. It's always consistent with what's in the Bible. Another thing that's happening are jewels. Jewels, precious gems manifest. Sometimes they're quite large. Very large, as big as your thumbnail, and sometimes they're very, very small, but they will manifest and fall. to the floor around people's feet or manifest around them. And when they're taken to jewelers, jewelers are amazed because they've never seen such flawless and perfect gems. So that's manifesting. Food is materializing, particularly in third world countries. There's a woman called Heidi Baker that has the Iris Ministries in Mozambique. And she supports, and her ministry support 5,000 orphaned children. And she's established 8,000 churches there, she and her husband, Roland Baker. And she's a woman with a doctorate in systematic theology from Laguna Beach, California, that went to a great revival that's taking place and has been for many, many, many years in Toronto at the Airport Christian Fellowship. There's a tremendous flow of the Holy Spirit there. And she was put out under the Holy Spirit. She fell under the power of the Holy Spirit and was immobile for an entire week where she had to be completely taken care of. And during that time, her whole life changed. She was changed from inside out, and the Holy Spirit said, I'm giving you Mozambique. And, of course, she had no idea what that meant. But everything that she has had has to be supernaturally manifested. They went there literally with nothing. And, by the way, she had two children, a son and a daughter. They all went to Mozambique because her husband was reading in the newspaper about the deplorable, terrible conditions in Mozambique and how Christians are being martyred and all this violence and bloodshed. And she said, oh, wonderful, that's where we need to go. See, the Holy Spirit will do that to you. It turns your whole world upside down. So anyway, she and her husband go to Mozambique with nothing. Everything they have to pray it in. The food has to be delivered by God's grace. It has to be supernaturally multiplied to feed these kids that she picks up off the street in the most deplorable conditions you can imagine. It's horrible, horrible conditions she finds these children in. She picks them up. She brings them home. Eventually, they got a fairly decent house. Eventually, they were able to get a fairly decent building. They made a dormitory, you know. Everything is kind of provided through miraculous means. And these children have been completely transformed, completely. They have had supernatural encounters with God that have personally transformed and healed them because some of them were so bruised, abused, battered, prostituted, beaten, tortured. So many things have happened to these children that God literally had to renew them and restore them from every cell of their being, and did. And these children are operating in these miraculous gifts. If you wish, if you want to, you can get on Amazon.com, you can order a DVD called Finger of God. Finger of God. Get it. Because it's very inexpensive, and you will see these children ministering to people and where the little children gather around and pray for people, and they're blind and they have their eyesight restored, or they're deaf and they can hear, or their speech is restored after they've been dumb, or diseases, they're delivered from diseases. Everyone that babies pray for, everyone the children pray for, get healed. Always, always, always healed. And anyway, this is an incredible thing that's happening in Mozambique. And there's just too many miracles for me to even begin to cover them all. But she's written several books, and you can get them on Amazon.com also about the miracles that are happening in Mozambique and through the ministry of these young children and Heidi Baker. So there's a whole new world out there for you to explore, and it's time for you to be aware of these things because you just don't hear about it unless somebody is in that arena You don't hear about it. You don't hear about it in the media. You don't hear about it in New Age because they don't know about it. You don't hear about it from the Buddhists or the Hindus, or sometimes Hindus have miracles. But generally speaking, it's only in the Christian charismatic community that you see this work of God. Why? Because Jesus kind of set the pace and set in place a belief system that would enable people to realize that God lives inside them and wants to do miracles through them. We have that way shower in Jesus that demonstrated that and made it available as an option. So when people believe in that and get into that mindset, they can do these things. And that's what it takes. So you're getting treated to information, which I don't think you would get otherwise, because I've been in that arena. I've experienced it and seen it myself. It changed my life forevermore, so I certainly want to share it with as many people as I can so you can have the same experience. I'm like a crow. You know, I go out and I find tasty morsels, and then I go cawing and cawing and cawing so everybody else can come and fly and taste the morsels too. So just consider me your crow. Out searching out tasty morsels for you. I was really, another story, which I think is very interesting, is that Heidi Baker, the woman I told you about from Laguna Beach, that has adopted all of these orphans, who heads up Iris Ministries with all these children in Mozambique. When she first started operating in the gifts, she laid hands on three blind women. All three had her name. She's called, I think they call her Mama Ida in Mozambique, although her name is Heidi. They call her Mama Ida. And all three of these people were named Mama Ida. And they were all blind. And when she and her young children laid hands on the people, she watched the white eye sockets go from white to gray to brown. Three times, white to gray to brown. So what happens when she goes into these villages, she gets people to sing and dance, and then she'll call for someone to come up who's blind, and she'll have her children lay hands on the blind person. They get their eyesight restored, and then everybody's like crazy. They all are so excited, and then they all want to come. And then the miracles start flowing. People start getting healed and delivered and set free, and then they want to know about Jesus, so she'll show the Jesus film, and then they'll want to receive Jesus and into their hearts and lives, and that's how the whole thing has spread. But there, you see, people have nothing. They have no money. They're poorest of the poor. They have no hope. They have no media. So their whole life is involved with working with God and experiencing the supernatural miracles. That's what their entertainment is. That's what their life's all about. And because they're simple-minded and pure of heart, these incredible manifestations of the kingdom of heaven is taking place. And that's just one, you know, one of many, many of these things are taking place now. There's also a young man, early 20s. His name is Jason Westerfield. And he goes to the campus in New Haven, Connecticut, which would be Yale. I've been there. And he just looks for people he can pray for. And whoever he prays for, he gets a word of knowledge about what's wrong in their body. That's what it's called when the Holy Spirit reveals something that you don't know about a person. It's called a word of knowledge. And he'll call out the things in their body, whatever's wrong with them, ask if he can pray for them. They always say yes. He prays for them, and then they're healed. Just bam, right in front of your eyes. So he's really outrageous, and he's out there and doing that. So there's a whole generation of young people called the Joshua generation that are operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're setting the pace for all of us to shift our mentality from the law and what's impossible to the unlimited possibilities of the age of grace and the age of miracles. And that's what we need to do now. We need to make that quantum shift to where only certain things are possible. Two, with God, all things are possible. No exception. All things. Nothing has to be impossible because everything is possible with God. If God made it, he can certainly fix it. nothing is out of the realm of impossibility. Now, the definition of miracles, shifting to the Course in Miracles, is miracles are always born of love. They're always a manifestation of love, which transcends time such as we know it. And time, again, is the limiting factor that we call the call or the limiting negative power that binds us into the phenomenal lower worlds. So grace reverses the law, and grace comes through love. So that's why love heals. Love is always sufficient and always is a manifestation prior to miracles. So you don't have to know anything, you don't have to be anything, you don't have to do anything. Just love. Love and have faith and step out boldly and in Jesus' name do these works. Try it. You'll like it. And don't get hung up on the fruits, because you'll sometimes go through a cycle of time where nothing happens, and then all of a sudden your gifts, bam, they open. I remember the great charismatic healer, Catherine Kuhlman. She, I think, said she prayed for 1,000 people before the first healing occurred. And then after the first healing, it was like everything, bam, 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 from then on. And I was actually in a crusade on the stage with her at one point because I had a miraculous healing under her ministry. So there'll be a period of time in which you gain your faith by stepping out in faith without looking for results. You have to leave the results to God and quit critiquing and assessing and comparing yourself with others. That really shuts down your anointing. Be innocent of all of that, like a little child, like these little kids that are so boldly ministering in these gifts. You know, give up this self-importance and this self-consciousness. When the Holy Spirit gets inside you, you don't have any kind of self-consciousness. You're just function. You're just divine function. So go for it. with these new people, these new souls, these new kids, these starseed, these kingdom ambassadors and emissaries that are coming in, they bring in a new influx of energy. And part of that is the sounds they produce. Now, bear in mind, everything is has sound, has the shog, has the divine sound current, part of it. So their words, their thoughts, their heart resonance, and their music brings in the new energy. Now, this is seldom appreciated by the older generation, or at least those who prefer to stick to the old ways, as many of us have found out, because the new generation tends to disrupt and to question the ways things have been. And thus, the new possibilities and ideas finds them as ready outlets for new energies to channel through. So we call them the indigos, the crystals, the rainbow children, the Generation X children, or the Joshua generation. I call them the young evangelicals, which is kind of the same thing, or the young charismatics, because they're absolutely crazy on fire for love for God. They're on fire for God. They eat God, breathe God, drink God, sleep with God. Everything's about God. They don't have another thought on their mind. They're just on fire for God, with God's love, and they have a passion to serve and to pour themselves out in service and in prayer and doing the miracles. And that's the Joshua generation, a very, very special group of young people. We had about 600 of them in my home church back in Seattle. It was incredible, and I got to see a lot of them up close and personal. There really are wonderful kids today that love God, that really don't want to take drugs and sleep around and drink and do stupid stuff. They really want to live according to the highest divine destiny. And many of them came out of, less than ideal situations and overcame it when God entered their life and their hearts and transformed them. So many of these kids have completely been renewed from brokenness. And Karen Wheaton has a whole group called, they dance. They do these incredible dances to worship songs and very robust dancing. And there's a place called The Ramp. I think it's in somewhere down south, Atlanta, I think it is, where all of these young people by the hundreds pour in and on fire for God. But these kids, most of them come out of severe brokenness and drug addiction and all sorts of stuff, but were transformed through the touch of Jesus and the love of Jesus. So, again, a miracle by definition is where the laws of limitation are transcended through love or transcended through grace, which is another way to say the same thing. So that is the boarding pass for us to transition or ascend. Many of you like the word ascend. The ascending is really to descend fully and be fully present here and now in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's that transcendental, ascended consciousness that we are moving into, which will produce a new heaven and a new earth. It will lift us experientially out of the old world view and reveal to our Windexed eyes, our washed clean eyes, our veilless eyes, the eyes of our heart. We'll see a different world. In other words, when I look upon the world, I really see love and joy and the face of God everywhere. And it's not pretense. I just go out and I just see the goodness. Everywhere I look, I see sweetness and love and I just love on people. Wherever I go, I just feel this incredible warmth in my heart towards people. And I don't feel shy or bashful. I also go out and pray, if I see someone that needs prayer, or sometimes the Holy Spirit will just say, go over and talk to that person or whatever. I too do that. I don't find any hesitancy to do that, although by nature I tend to be a little shy. I notice when God wants me to do something, the shyness vanishes. So where people of all ages, I think, need to make a major shift is in how they view themselves and their relationship with God. You know, we have been indoctrinated for years to think of God as an old man up in the sky somewhere sitting on a throne that's judging the heck out of us. It's just waiting for us to die so we can be judged again and then thrust into hell or taken to heaven. But even heaven doesn't sound too appealing because it's just sitting on a cloud with harps and they have just portrayed such a phantasmagorial outpicturing of what it is to be in heaven or what it is to have a relationship with God. I mean, it isn't really a relationship. It's kind of like a dictatorship, the way God is presented by the average dead religionist. And because of that, we really don't think of God as part of ourselves. We just think of God as being someone separate who judges and condemns, but we don't tend to think of God as loving or relational. And switching a little bit more to an Eastern point of view, the Eastern point of view is very relational, where God is absolute and transcendental, and God is also personal and relational. They experience God in different aspects. And in the relational aspect, in the Eastern teachings in Hinduism, you can take God as your child, your mother, your father, your best friend, or your lover. You can have God in all these different ways and enjoy the relationship with God in each of these valences. Now, I can say I have personally experienced God in all five of those relationships for a period of time. I've had each one of those divine moods, which is called a bhava, B-H-A-V-A. Bhava is a divine mood that comes upon you when you're in devotional relationship with God. So I've experienced that. And again, God meets you at the point that you open to him or her. You know, you can see God as Divine Mother, too. But at the point that you open your possibility of relationship, God will meet you at that point. So if you want to see God as a child, fine. God will be a child to you. If you want to see God as your father, fine. God will be that to you. Or you can do like I do and just experience God as the beloved, as a child, as a lover, as a mother, as a father, as your best friend. All of these dances are possible with God. And in the charismatic movement, to a certain extent, that is also very much in evidence, which is nice. Not as much as it is in Hinduism, because there's still a certain doctrinal interpretation that has overlaid the Christian path, which, hopefully as we move more into the age of miracles, we're going to lose that doctrinal, limitational view, which basically came out of people writing about something they hadn't directly experienced. Because when you directly experience God, religion goes out the window, and you're just in love. You're crazy in love. And when you're in love, you don't want to sit and read a book about love. You want to be with your beloved. So in the same way, someone who has experienced God, they are just as happy as they can be being with lovers of God, no matter what tradition, what religion, what context, what valence. They're just in love. And they don't care what you call it or how you express it. But a mystic transcends religious doctrine. A mystic transcends barriers and differences entirely and moves and breathes and lives in the whole spirit in the unified field that we call Christ consciousness. Or we could call it Buddha consciousness. However, it's slightly different. Buddha didn't show the path to step free through grace. He showed how to step free from suffering. Jesus opened the way to step free through grace. Free, free, free. I mean not having to come back into the wheel of reincarnation and karma. I mean being able to go directly from earth into the throne realms through divine grace. That's what we have today. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it, but you do need to open up to it and surrender your humanness, surrender your stuff, your agenda, and just be empty and allow the wholeness of that whole spirit to fill you. That's all. You just have to give up the stuff. You don't want it anyway. And most of us that are listening to these kind of programs, We want this. We want this greater thing, but we don't know how to get to it. Well, I'm telling you, you need to depart the arenas of deadness in your life. You know, I often say if it doesn't grow corn for you, get out of it. Quit sowing seed into something that's not producing anything in your life. So dead works. You have to depart dead works, dead congregations, dead churches, dead friendships, dead relationships, where there isn't life, where there isn't love, where there isn't vitality, where there isn't transformation. It's a quagmire. It's a tar pit. Get out of it. And that's going to hurt some feelings, because you're going to get out of a lot of these religious groups and organizations and say, I'm sorry, but, I'm going where there's life. I'm going where there's freedom. I'm going where there's love. I'm going where there's transformation. I don't just want to hear about what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. I want to do what he did then, now, today, myself. I don't want to sit and watch other people do it. I want to do it. So when you get in that mindset, I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit will lead you, just like he did me, because I didn't even know this thing existed. I didn't know it was an option. I never heard about it, and certainly never expected to find it in Christianity, which, like most of you, I thought was pretty dead. because I'd only seen dead Christianity in churches. I didn't know there was actually a vital renewal movement taking place that was transforming lives. I just didn't know. So I came into it very, very innocent, and you probably will be too. But I encourage you in exploring and going beyond. Just see where you can go beyond everything you ever thought that you could be, you could do, you could have. Just give it all up and see what the Spirit has for you. Get new experiences. Get transforming experiences. And above all, honey, get happy. Get happy. You know, Saibaba was always looking at us and saying, be happy. Be happy. You know, don't worry. Be happy. Leave everything to God. Don't worry about anything. Be happy. So I say that too. And become like a child. A child is completely incapable of deceit, cynicism, sarcasm, doubt, questioning, you know, all of the complexities that come with conditioning and the clever ego mind. A child doesn't have. You can always trust a child, a young child, to give you the absolute truth and to completely be guileless. So that's how we enter the kingdom of heaven, to have a childlike nature. Which, you know what, you get a childlike nature when God transforms your heart. You become like a very innocent child, and you become natural. So like a child, you find yourself crying very readily. You know, if you're sad, you cry. If you're happy, you laugh. If you are hungry, you eat. If you're sleepy, you sleep. And you become very natural. All the artificiality and the shoulds and the should-bes and I should do this and I should do that, all of that falls away, and you, for the first time, discover you're a very natural, authentic person who is true to themselves and what is so for them. That's one of the evidences of the transformed life, is to become very comfortable with owning your own space, breathing your own air, and being your own person. And the only one you ever need to be loyal to is the Spirit of God that dwells within you. Or your heart, your inner conscience, that's what you're true to. Not to a building, not to a spiritual teacher, not to a guru, not to a doctrine or doctrination or a belief system. Be true to your conscience, because your conscience is the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit within you. And listen to that and be true to that and be loyal to that. And if you are, then you'll find that it's impossible for you to be false to anyone else when you're true to your own divine self. So, beloved, let's go out chanting. Let's do... let's do... let's do Shanti... Shalom. Oh, Salam. So we have Shanti, Sanskrit, Shalom, Hebrew, Salam, Arabic. Okay, deep breath. Shanti, Shalom, Salam. Shanti Shalom Salam. Shanti Shalom Salam. Peace to all beings, peace to all nations, peace to all planets, peace to all beings, all sentient beings, the peace of God be with you. Adonai, beloveds.